Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour, bonjour. Thank you for joining with me today. We are grateful to be able to rise up together. Yes. So the topic today, love and sacrifice, sacrifice and love. Let's see if they go together. Ha ha. So I begin with a blessing and a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart as I am placing my hand on my heart. So gratefully and thankfully saying yes to an infinite intelligence, the pure love and light that we already are, that we already have. The infinite wisdom of pure spirit is ours now and forever. We are grateful to partner up with that higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of remembering the truth that sets us free, for the purpose of making that decision to seek the kingdom first and foremost, and to allow, to fully allow the heavenly gifts to be revealed to us in our heart and in our mind. We open ourselves to being profoundly receptive, profoundly available to the perfect love, to the beauty. We are choosing that great, great willingness. That's what we're cultivating. That's why we come together. We are grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our healing and our expansion, our clarity, and our freedom with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let's look at this topic of sacrifice. The Course tells us that sacrifice is, literally tells us sacrifice is a notion totally unknown to God. And yet, many of us have confused love and sacrifice. So let's dive deeply into this because I feel there's a tremendous amount of healing. This is why I was led and guided to it. Sometimes what I do when deciding the topic, I just pick up my big old Falling Apart Course in Miracles book and I just kind of run the pages through my fingers and then I just... And I tell Jesus, pick a page, pick whatever it is I'm to talk about. And so I came to chapter 15, section 10, and we'll start in paragraph 5. But there are many, many places where Jesus talks about sacrifice all throughout the Course. And it's important for us to understand. So another thing that Jesus tells us about sacrifices is that the ego considers gifts sacrifices. That when we're making a sacrifice, we're making a gift. And he says, but the gifts you offer to the kingdom are gifts to you. Receiving the gift, allowing the gift, accepting the gift, that's a true gift in the realm of the kingdom. But in the realm of the ego, giving a gift requires a sacrifice. And so we have all this stuff around giving and receiving. It's better to give than to receive. Why would that be so? Here Jesus is already saying to us, and let's see, this is chapter 7, section 7, 11. That's interesting. 11, paragraph 11. The gifts you offer to the ego are always experienced as sacrifices. Always. But the gifts you offer to the kingdom are gifts to you. In other words, gifts that you receive. Yes. And in just a little bit later in that paragraph, he says, all power and glory are yours because the kingdom is God's. And God has already given us the kingdom. That's why when we seek the kingdom within, everything is added to us because it's already been given to us. Yes, but boy, do we get into sacrifice and hurt ourselves with it. Now, in chapter 7, section 10, paragraph 3, Jesus is talking about recognizing the kingdom, accepting the kingdom. And he says that we are to learn to recognize what is painful and from what is joyful, and that we're apt to confuse the two. And then he says, the Holy Spirit's main function is to teach you to tell them apart. Interesting, huh? The Holy Spirit's main function is to teach us to tell the difference between joy and pain. A little bit earlier, he says, the problem is not whether what the Holy Spirit says is true, but whether you want to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, Jesus says, what is joyful to you is painful to the ego. And as long as you are in doubt about what you are, you will be confused about joy and pain. This confusion is the cause of the whole idea of sacrifice. So it is the confusion between what is pain and what is joy that brought into being the whole idea of sacrifice. He says, obey the Holy Spirit and you will be giving up the ego. But you will be sacrificing nothing. On the contrary, you will be gaining everything. If you believed this, there would be no conflict, right? So conflict is when we say we want the peace of God, but we're not willing to employ the means necessary to experience it. I think of that character in The Matrix. He's called Cypher. I don't know why he's called Cypher, but he is the one who does not want to wake up from the dream of separation. So he wants to live in the Matrix where he can have a good stake, maybe be a rock star, things like that. So for him to come out of the Matrix, to come out of the dream, would be to give up the stake, to give up feeling like a celebrity. But you see, what he's doing is he's compromising true happiness, true self-esteem, true self-love, true peace of mind for an artificial, temporary experience of the false belief that this steak is delicious or I'm special because I'm a rock star. So this is the kind of thing that we're talking about here. And so I'm going to invite you to just look around your life and see where you can see that you feel like you're making a sacrifice. Where do you feel like you're making a sacrifice? A lot of people feel that they're making sacrifices for their children. And I've talked about this before because I think it's really helpful for us to get out of these ego mindsets. And the only way we're going to do it is not through reading a book. Nope, that's not going to do it. It's got to come from us examining what we're really thinking, what we're really feeling. This is the whole crux of what we do in my programs, like Masterful Living, like Finding Freedom. And hey, by the way, I am considering doing a program, maybe just an 8-week program, 9-week program, 9 weeks, I think, on depression, curing depression, healing depression. I've had a lot of success with people over the last 20 years who've been able to heal their depression using the tools that I offer them. And it is a byproduct that many people have through Finding Freedom, through Masterful Living. But I'm going to do a special program, I'm thinking about it, called Depression Demolition, where we're going to really work the tools together. So if you think that might be of interest to you, do me a favor, write to admin@jenniferhadley.com. I'll make sure to send you information about it when I've got that ready. The Holy Spirit never asks for sacrifice, but the ego always does. So consider the parent who feels that they are sacrificing things that they would like for their children. There is no sacrifice. If a parent decides to take a second job to pay for a special program for their children and they think they're sacrificing their free time, no, you would like your child to have that program. That is your free will choice. And so you're not making a sacrifice, but you can think that you are. And that's what a lot of people do. They think that they're making sacrifices in their relationships, and then they resent the sacrifice. But the thing is no, there is no sacrifice. You're the one who would like to give up that thing or make that choice. Be grateful you can make the choice. Be grateful you have the choice. And celebrate that you're doing this because you're coming from your loving heart. Now that's the thing is, if you're not coming from your loving heart, it seems like a sacrifice. When I think of this, I think of, and I may have said this before somewhere in the last dozen years or so I've been doing this podcast. No, I guess it's not that long. 10 years-ish. I had a boyfriend. We lived in Manhattan. And his mother, when she would come to visit us, her and her husband, when my boyfriend's parents would come to visit us, or we'd go visit them, they would get Junior's Cheesecake, which is a Brooklyn delicacy. It's the best cheesecake in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And so I found out that it would take her a long time on the bus to go and get that Junior's Cheesecake back then. This was back in a long time ago. And when I found out, I was like, honey, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing all of that to get that cheesecake for us. And he looked at me, he said, you do the same thing. You spend half a day walking up and down 9th Avenue, getting the olives from this store and the pasta from that store and the coffee from this store and the herbs from that store. You do the same thing. What are you talking about? But you see, I never felt it was a sacrifice. I still, when I do things like that, it doesn't ever feel like a sacrifice because it's my choice. It's my choice. It's what I like to do. It's like when our family gets together in Maine, I will stop on the drive at the biggest Whole Foods on the way and do a massive shop and fill the car for everybody. I spend like $500. And it's not a sacrifice. because I love being able to support my family, and we don't have to do as much grocery shopping when we're there. I have the time to do it, and we have nice quality things and treats, and it's wonderful. You know, it's part of my vacation expense, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm not, you know, enjoying a lot of the things that I'm getting because I don't eat those things, I don't drink those things, but I still enjoy being able to bring them and get them, and it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. But I can remember when I would feel like I would make things into a sacrifice, and that I was doing without so I could get these things for others. It doesn't have to be monetary. It can be time. It can be energy. It can be your scheduling, all kinds of reasons. So when we believe that something is a sacrifice because we decided it was a sacrifice, because we decided to have a sacrifice rather than an offering, a wonderful offering. The groceries I bring are an offering. The cheesecake is an offering. It's a gift. It's not a sacrifice. And I don't wish to see gifts as sacrifice. That sounds awful. But when we do think of that, then what comes with it? A sense of lack of appreciation, a sense of resentment, a sense that we're not fully loved, a sense that people don't really value us, don't really value our time, our energy, our money. Whenever there's a sense of not feeling appreciated and a sense of resentment and a sense of sacrifice, you can bet 100% you have put yourself in that situation. You dreamed it up, you executed it, and you got the results you wanted, you see. And this is where the responsibility for a site section in chapter 21, it's section 2, chapter 21, can be so helpful to us. I'm going to read it again. I haven't shared it in a while. Jesus says, "This is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations. For here the power of salvation lies." Here it is. "I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear." Now, that is the nails on a chalkboard to the ego. That is the bucket of water to the ego witch from the West. Taking responsibility for what we see and recognizing that we are the ones who choose the feelings that we're going to experience because we've decided what our goal is. Is our goal to make others feel guilty by our deciding to sacrifice? We could just give a gift, but if we turn it into a sacrifice, what are we trying to do then? Trying to make others feel guilty for our sacrifice. We're perpetuating the unconscious guilt. And then, of course, when we perpetuate the unconscious guilt, we feel guilty for doing that. You see, so we perpetuate our own unconscious guilt. So the sacrifice then becomes more entrenchment into the unconscious guilt. It is a vicious circle, the hamster wheel of hell. Truly, it is. When we think that we're making a sacrifice, we feel righteous. We feel good. Look at me, I'm a good person, I'm making a sacrifice. But if you have the conscious awareness that when you believe you're making a sacrifice, you are actually contributing to other people's suffering as much as your own, because you're perpetuating the unconscious guilt in their mind and in yours. So every time you think you're making a sacrifice, you are actually adding to the intensity of pain and suffering for all beings in this world. Do not kid yourself. The hamster wheel of hell. That is the thing. Love requires no sacrifice. Love is the fullness of God. How could it ever require a sacrifice? Only the ego requires sacrifice. In God, there is no sacrifice. It's a false concept. Or we could even just say it's a concept. Because in God, there are no concepts, not in our true reality. Only in the illusion, is there a sacrifice. Remember, the Holy Spirit never asks for a sacrifice, but the ego always does. As he says in the responsibility for sight section, deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you, including being forced to make a sacrifice. No such thing. Truly, even if I think, I am going to risk my life to save this child, it's my free will choice. It's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice is an illusion. It's a delusion, and we can live without it. It is a betrayal of our holy self to entertain the concept of a sacrifice. Who is the hero in the dream of sacrifice? Yeah, the ego. The ego. Spirit will never ask us to make a sacrifice. Never. Only the ego has an idea about sacrifice. So if we are willing to really look through our experience and where we thought we did sacrifice, and here's the trick, forgive ourselves, truly forgive ourselves for ever believing that we could sacrifice, and then for any guilt that we inflicted on others because of our sacrifice. It's how we liberate ourselves and others. And it's so worth doing. And that's the extra mile that a lot of people don't bother to do. Now, if we go to where I was saying originally, chapter 15, section 10, it's called the time of rebirth. We're going to look here at the end of paragraph 4, where Jesus says, for though the ego takes many forms, it is always the same idea. What is not love is always fear and nothing else. What is not love is always fear and nothing else. He says, it is not necessary to follow fear through all the circuitous routes by which it burrows underground and hides in darkness to emerge in forms quite different from what it is. Yet it is necessary to examine each one as long as you would retain the principle that governs all of them. When you are willing to regard them not as separate, but as different manifestations of the same idea and one you do not want, they go together. The idea is simply this. You believe it is possible to be host to the ego or hostage to God. This is a choice you think you have and the decision you believe that you must make. You see no other alternatives, for you cannot accept the fact that sacrifice gets nothing. So we feel so strongly that we either get to live the life we want or we're hostage to God living a life we don't want, living a life of deprivation, which is also sacrifice. And this is the thing that is in so many people's minds, that in order to have a godly life, they're going to have to make all these sacrifices. And the idea that in order to have health, you won't be able to have chocolate. And crazy ideas of sacrifice are like just crazy, crazy apparitions in the dream. It's time for me to get ready to go for a break here, so I don't want to go any further into this before we come back from the break. In the meantime, you know, I don't think I often mention that I do write a daily blog. I record a prayer every day. All of that is free at jenniferhadley.com. You can sign up for the blog every day or once a week. And just letting you know, all that's free at jenniferhadley.com. Ah, I'm so grateful that we're talking about love and sacrifice today. I'm Jennifer Hadley. You're listening to A Course in Miracles on Unity Online Radio, where we're living the love, we're walking the talk, and I'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, living the love, walking the talk.
And we're back. Thank you for coming back. We're talking about love and sacrifice, two things that do not go together. Sacrifice is an illusion. It's a delusion. It's not a real thing. It can't actually occur. Yay for that. So we are grateful to let it go forever. And it does take some real attention. Now think about this. Oh, when I was younger, I had a real anger about the Catholic Church and organized religion in general, but specifically the Catholic Church. It wasn't until I got much older that I realized that I probably had many lifetimes as a member of the Catholic Church, as a member of the church hierarchy, and that I was involved in many things that were extremely hurtful and painful to myself and to humanity. And that I did things that harmed people, and I was harmed as well. And so the true source of my anger was really at not forgiving myself for my misdeeds in a past life and forgiving others for theirs. So once I did that work, my anger at the Catholic Church dissipated. And I also had experiences when I was a girl where people that I knew, families of my friends, were Catholic, and they went to church very, very religiously, as they used to say, every week without fail, going to church, while simultaneously the family was doing things that, like the father beating the children, having affairs, but still going to church with his children every week. And the whole, you're a sinner, friends telling me, too bad you're going to hell because you weren't baptized. I mean, I knew that was lunacy even as a child. But if you just look at this basic thought that Jesus is giving us here, truth, it's not a thought, it's a truth. This basic truth that sacrifice is a false concept that doesn't exist. It's an illusion, it's a delusion of the ego. And if you look at how it perpetuates the just incredible suffering of the unconscious guilt. And that it, this notion of sacrifice is, has been written into the teachings of Jesus as far as Christianity is concerned. And this is one of their biggest points. You know, when they say Jesus died for your sins, they're saying Jesus sacrificed for your sins. Jesus sacrificed his life for your, because you are a sinner. And it's not just that, it's that God, Jesus' Father, gave up his best son, his favorite son, as a sacrifice for all us sinners. And still it's not enough, you ungrateful bastards. You know, this is actually encoded into the teachings of Christianity, and it is the exact opposite of what Jesus taught. That had a lot to do with my anger as well, because I recognized that as a child, that this is not what Jesus meant. I knew that as a child because I used to go to church with my grandfather, who was a Catholic, but extremely benevolent, loving, most loving, truly the most loving person I at that time was close to at all was my grandfather. He was actually my step-grandfather because my real grandfather passed away and my grandmother had remarried. But and he actually had a brother who became a monk and a sister who became a nun. And his name was Francis. My grandfather, we called him Frank, but his name was Francis. So I did have a special place of beauty and love for going to Mass with Frank. A precious memory of that. And I still like going to Masses, especially if they're not in English. I don't really know what they're saying. And I can just enjoy the vibe. I love to visit cathedrals and have been blessed to be able to visit some really wonderful, wonderful cathedrals and spend many, many hours there, days there. And that's been precious to me. I'm sure I've talked about that. I'm sure because I know I was doing this podcast when I was visiting Lourdes and other places. So this notion of sacrifice is really drilled into us that it's a good thing. It's a godly thing, but it's actually the opposite. Another example of how we're having opposite day here on earth. So, sacrifice gets nothing. Let's go back to this, I think, one of the key ideas here. This is in the chapter about the holy instant, and it's the time of rebirth, section 10. What I find in counseling people is that, as a spiritual counselor, is that people are generally quite convinced that to have a godly life, a spiritual life, to be a truly loving, awake being is going to require the sacrifice of many, many, many things that they like and love. And so that is a real problem for people. Because they feel like there's not going to be any pleasure in life anymore. There's not going to be any enjoyment in life anymore. It's impossible to conceive the kind of joy that Spirit has for us because we're so used to blocking it. We only understand temporary, momentary happiness that comes from getting what we think we want. But that real underlying joy of being connected with Spirit and feeling the true peace and joy of God, That is, it's unbelievable to most spiritual folks. And a lot of what we're talking about in A Course in Miracles is unbelievable to most spiritual folks. That's why Jesus actually tells us, don't feel you need to believe any of this for it to work. The belief will come later. It's not even the belief will come later. It's the knowing will be revealed. So underneath all of our false beliefs is the knowing of the truth. It's just hidden. It's covered up. So we do have to be willing to give up our attachments to the false beliefs in order to experience the truth. Indeed. Now, continuing on here in paragraph 5, he says, sacrifice is so essential to your thought system that salvation, apart from sacrifice, means nothing to you. Salvation apart from sacrifice means nothing. Your confusion of sacrifice and love is so profound that you cannot conceive of love without sacrifice. And it is this that you must look upon. Sacrifice is attack, not love. If you would accept but this one idea, your fear of love would banish. Guilt cannot last when the idea of sacrifice has been removed. For if there is sacrifice, someone must pay and someone must get. And the only question that remains is how much is the price and for getting what? What are you getting for your sacrifice? How much is the sacrifice? Look around your life. Many people are afraid of being in a loving relationship because they feel they're going to have to make sacrifices. And many marriages are undone because of this delusion of sacrifice. So part of the antidote is to forgive ourselves for believing in sacrifice and for foisting that belief on others. Look what I've done for you. I'm asking you to do this one thing for me, and you won't even do that after all I've done for you. There it is. There it is. If people don't want to do something, they don't want to do it. You don't have to do what you did. If you didn't do it because of the love in your heart, if you now feel entitled to manipulate other people, because of what you chose to do. You're Looney Tunes, right? But isn't this the way that we operate? Oh, and it causes so much suffering. And then we blame the suffering on other people. We sacrificed. We held up our end of the bargain. We did the right thing. We did the good thing. We did the true thing. They're the bad ones. And then deep down, we feel like an idiot. Why did I sacrifice when I didn't have to, when it wasn't appreciated, when they don't love me? Must be because I'm not lovable. Must be because I'm not worth it. Must be because nobody cares about me. I run into a lot of spiritual students who are overgiving because they're trying to get, because they don't think there's any other way for them to be supported and cared for and loved if they don't overgive and overdo it. And then they're resentful. They don't feel appreciated. They feel unloved and unlovable. They don't even realize they're perpetuating the circle. It's so common. It is so common. The way out of all of it is to recognize the choices that we've made. Take responsibility for them. And remember that prayer at the end of chapter 5, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I let him. So we can actually let the Holy Spirit undo all the consequences of our wrong decision. We can. We can allow that to happen. And it's so vital that we ask for it. ask and it is given. So let us remember to ask for this level of support. So many people are only willing to ask Spirit for help getting the very specific things that they need. Help me get this job, this particular job. But what if that job is not the highest and best for you? Instead, let's back away. Help me to receive all the highest and best opportunities that are encoded into my script. Help me to receive all the love that Spirit has for me, all the healing, all the prosperity, all the goodness that Spirit has for me. Let me receive it. Help me to do that. Let's ask for that kind of help. So help me to forgive everything that I've been holding against myself. Help me to release all the attack thoughts and all the judgments that I have towards this person, towards that company, towards whatever. This is the kind of asking that is so helpful and that we can do. Here's the opportunity for our healing and our transformation. It is at hand. Yes. Love requires no sacrifice, and sacrifice itself gets nothing but pain and suffering. So many of us were taught that sacrifice is love. Many of us were taught that. I love you, therefore I sacrifice. And that's what love is. That's how you know somebody loves you. They're willing to sacrifice. So then we think, well, I'd like to be a loving, caring person. So then I need to start making sacrifices too. But it's actually the opposite of love. It actually brings more pain and suffering. It teaches that pain and suffering are the ideal. The ideal. You see how entrenched we are in these thoughts, in these beliefs? We can do our part. We do need to forgive ourselves for having perpetuated the belief in sacrifice. I know in my life, my mother's mother, my grandmother, was one who really perpetuated this idea of sacrifice. And she saw what looked like her mother sacrificing, and she felt she was called upon to sacrifice as acts of love. That's what she was trained in. And when I became a teenager, I would confront her with it. No, not doing that. Because she would say, you know, I do so much for you. And I would say back to her, you do exactly what you want to do. You always do only what you want to do. This is what you want to do. Don't do it for me. Do it because you like doing it. And she did. But in her mind, it was a sacrifice. It wasn't. It was what she had a desire to do. So now where so many people have been spending a long time living in close quarters together, these kinds of patterns and habits, these beliefs, these mindsets come up for healing. And it is challenging. It is challenging to us to have to look at them. But it's more challenging to live under the weight, the onus of this hellish hamster wheel of sacrifice. So let's give it all up. So Jesus says here, your confusion of sacrifice and love is so profound that you cannot conceive of love without sacrifice. And it is this that you must look upon. Sacrifice is attack, not love. Sacrifice is attack, not love. If you would accept but this one idea, your fear of love would vanish. So to everyone who has a fear of getting hurt in relationship, and has a fear of love because of it. Consider this. Sacrifice is attack. It's not love. If you would like to be in a loving relationship with another human being, there will be no sacrifice ever, ever. If you have taught your family members that you have sacrificed for their happiness, it's time to make amends. That might be uncomfortable, but it will relieve you of the guilt and the pain, and it will help them too. Because when we teach these painful things, like I was saying earlier, that it seems as though Christianity has taught that sacrifice is love. And if we've perpetuated that because that's what we were taught, we must first forgive ourselves, and then we can just own it and help others to realize, I didn't know what I was doing. I was taught that sacrifice and love are the same. So I thought, if I sacrifice for you, you're going to know that I love you. This is an expression of my loving heart. And I can see now that I was wrong, that has nothing to do with love. And that these things that I decided to do for you were actually maybe not a sacrifice for me. I didn't go on vacations because blah, blah, blah. I know for me, for a lot of time, whenever I had an opportunity to go on a vacation and when I was able to freely take a vacation, having the money and the time, I wish to be with my family to this day, family or close friends. I don't go on vacations to go sightseeing and things like that. That's my choice. It's no sacrifice, though. It's no sacrifice. That's my desire to be with my family. That's my desire to be with my friends. I don't care about sightseeing. And not that there's anything wrong with caring about sightseeing, but I enjoy just being with my loved ones. But I could have felt that it was a sacrifice. I could have looked at it that way, that, oh, I have an opportunity. I could go on a wonderful vacation with someone and just have a good time, but I've decided to go on vacation with my family and have a good time. It's how we look at it. It's how we look at it. Sacrifice is a concept. It is not a real thing. It is a perspective. Pain is a wrong perspective. So it is a perspective. It is a point of view. And you making a list of all the things that you felt you sacrificed, that you believed that you sacrificed, the times that you sacrificed, and what you sacrificed. And if you can just own, no, these are the things that you did because you saw the benefit and you wanted the benefit. It's not a sacrifice if you choose one benefit over another. It's like, I remember one time I had a date with a man and he said, I'm sorry, I have to reschedule our date because I have to babysit my children. He was a divorced man with children. And I thought, he has to babysit his children. That's how he's looking at his children, that he babysits them. He's not being with them. He's babysitting them. And that he has to do it. It just like, I was like, yeah, I don't think this is the fella for me. Not the one for me. So this notion of have to and sacrifice, we choose to. And let us get out of this idea of have to. We choose to. And we can think we have to, but there's only suffering in that. There's only sacrifice in that. And that is what Jesus is saying here. If, he says, guilt cannot last when the idea of sacrifice has been removed. For if there is sacrifice, someone must pay and someone must get. And the only question that remains is how much is the price and for getting what? As host to the ego, you believe that you can give all your guilt away whenever you want and thereby purchase peace. And the payment does not seem to be yours. While it is obvious that the ego does demand payment, it never seems to be demanding it of you. You are unwilling to recognize that the ego, which you invited, is treacherous only to those who think they are its host. The ego will never let you perceive this, since this recognition would make it homeless. For when the recognition dawns clearly, you will not be deceived by any form the ego takes to protect itself from your sight. Each form will be recognized as but a cover for the one idea that hides behind them all, that love demands sacrifice and is therefore inseparable from attack and fear, and that guilt is the price of love, which must be paid by fear. Guilt is the price of love, which must be paid by fear. Let us change our minds. And let us do this excavation of looking deep within and laying it all on the altar and making an offering of our false beliefs of sacrifice to the Holy Spirit. Recognizing these, pulling up the weeds, that's a gift we give to all humanity. Yes. And speaking of gifts, thank you to all those who tithe to the ministry. And if you would like to do that, one of the easiest ways to do it is acimtexts.com. Let's take a breath and be grateful and thankful for the love of God that shines in our hearts and minds. We share the benefits with everyone. We let it be. And so it is. Amen, amen, amen. Mwah.